Looks like it's my turn. Let's start with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, this service today, it's a beautiful Sabbath day, but it's also a communion Sabbath day. There is so much here for us, Lord. Father, I've asked you for the message that you want me to have today, that you want your people to have today. So at this time, I ask you to cleanse my heart and use me to deliver the word that you have already planned for us to hear. In the name of Jesus, amen. Boy, I wish I could sing. I wish I could sing. Where's Sister Lydia? Oh, no, I can't. I can't sing well at all. Thank you. There's a little hope there, right? You know, just take a quick second and thank you guys for what you've done this morning. Sister Lorenda, I think that's the first time I've seen you as our chorister. Thank you so much. You know, and well, Earl, you know, but you know, thank you to the doctors for taking the time through the week to put together that information for us. It really helps to calm our fears when someone with the knowledge can share that with us. So thank you all for that also. And Junior, where is Dwight Junior? Boy, your daddy will never come up and do the story. You are so brave. Thank you. Thank you. And Byron and Yoselin, always your service. Thank you. And Sister Jennifer, I tell you what, for being a new member and getting up in front of everybody, kudos. Thank you all so much for your service today. You know, as we get into this message, let me just start by sharing a quick thought. We're going to have our communion service after this message. We start, though, with our ordinance of humility and the foot washing. Don't be hesitant to pass on it if you're not comfortable today doing the foot washing. And if you're one of our elderly members, don't hesitate at all to pass on the service, okay? Just being here today and observing and participating in what God has planned for us is a blessing in and of itself. So tend to where your comfort level is, okay? Because I promise you, you go back there and wash your feet, that's not putting you in heaven. So if you don't wash feet, that's not keeping you out of heaven, okay? All right, that out of the way. Our scripture reading, John 6:35. I'll tell you first off, a lot of things have seemed to conspire against me preparing this message, but let's be honest, it's my own procrastination. All right? I went to the eye doctor this week. I'm on a trial set. It's not working. Not working. I drove a different truck today, so my glasses are in the other one. Yeah. I sat down in the study and I was typing away and keeping an eye on my battery level because I didn't charge my laptop. And I said, let me just exercise a little bit of faith here, but at the same time, I'm going to email what I have so far of the sermon to myself. That was during the lesson study. So I was able to capture most of the message, and then the laptop died. Right? That's okay. And then I said, I've got what I've got. I'm going to print it on the printer. And the intelligent team back there, they do so much for us. The printer's on a different subnet, and I couldn't print. You know? What's going on today? But we figured out. Jordan said, hey, you're on the wrong internet. Switch to Belkin. And I was able to print. Thank you so much. So, it's my own procrastination. Stuff was not conspiring against me. But in thinking through the week what to talk about this morning, every day we all have the Bible app. It gives you a verse of the day, right? And yesterday evening as I was driving home, verse of the day was John 6:35. And I said, how interesting is that? Turn with me to John 6:35 real quick. John 6:35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now, that scripture was not directly bearing on the communion service. Nonetheless, it was talking about Jesus being the bread of life and the fountain, the water of life, so that we will not be hungry, we will not be thirsty. And as I pondered that while driving home, I thought, it makes perfect sense. Nothing in this world satisfies our hunger. We always want more. Nothing in this world satisfies our thirst. We always want more. That is just the nature of man. But with Jesus Christ, when we learn to eat of the bread of life, when we learn to drink of the saving blood of Jesus Christ, as we'll get into the service today, we understand how filling that is in our hearts and in our minds. And when we face the hopelessness that this world presents to us, what else can satisfy us other than knowing, you know what? It's sad that you guys are ignorant and don't get this, but I know Jesus died for me. I know he gave a lot so that he can come back and take me home. And man, I am so happy about that. And it's sad what we see in the world. It's sad what we see in our own country. It's sad what we see politically. It's sad, it's sad, it's sad. Everything is just sad, right? But you know what? Every coin has two sides. Every glass, when you look at it, is either half empty or it's half full. And it's your choice to pick which it is. Half empty, burned out, almost done. Half full, I still got plenty. Jesus is taking care of me. And that's the perspective I want us to have as we look at this message this morning. 12:15, we will move quickly. Maybe that's why I couldn't finish the sermon this morning. Yeah, this is all I have. Uncommon for me, right? All right. How many meals do you think you've had in your lifetime? Not. Let's look at it this way. If you're 16 years old, let's say you eat three times a day, you're fortunate. That's roughly 1,095 meals in a year, 365 times three, rounded up to 1,100, because at Thanksgiving, come on, you eat extra, okay? 1,100 times a year, 1,100 meals. If you're 16 years old, you've probably already had over 17,000 meals. That sounds like protest. I don't know. Well, and listen, if you're 50, with that same equation, you've had about 55,000 meals. If your name is Marcus Rowland, you had about 68,000 to 70,000. That's okay. You remember all of them? You know, there are some that are memorable. We remember that Thanksgiving when Uncle Joe told all those crazy stories and Uncle Terry came up and he was stumbling a little bit. He shouldn't have been. And little Johnny with that frog chasing everybody with his muddy hands. And I'm like, when are these people going home? You know, and then he throws up on mom's dress. We remember that meal, don't we? That Thanksgiving. We remember that first time when Jackie finally said, yes, Jordan, I'll go to dinner with you. And Jordan remembers. It was hours they sat and talked. Try sitting and talking for hours today. That's another sermon, though. You remember certain meals, don't you? Think about Jesus for a second. I dare say Jesus ate less than the average man. He hung out in that desert for 40 days fasting, then he was tempted. He routinely, regularly fasted in prayer to his heavenly Father. As a traveling man, maybe he had one or two meals a day. I don't know. So Jesus didn't have as many meals. Do you think he remembers all of them? Well, of course, he's Jesus. But I'm saying, in terms of things that are memorable, worth remembering, etc., maybe you'll think, you remember that one where he turned water into wine and it was his first miracle on earth? He probably remembers that one, doesn't he? You think he remembers the Last Supper? That's the one we're going to talk about. And why? Why is it something that's memorable to Jesus? I'll say this. If it's memorable to Jesus, it better be memorable to you. Okay? So hold that thought. The other thing is that inkjet printer is nothing like a laser printer. This looks blurry. But that's okay, too. That's okay, too. Here's the thing. This was at the time of the Passover. Jesus and his disciples are in the upper room. They're having the Last Supper. For the disciples, it's memorable. Hey, this is our friend Jesus. This is not just our friend Jesus. He's done all these miracles. He has healed lepers. He has given sight to the blind. He has raised the dead. That is Jesus. That is the Son of God. And I'm sitting here eating with him. This is so cool. It was memorable for them. It was memorable for Jesus, but you got to think, as he approached the upper room, can you imagine the sorrow that he was carrying in his heart? Can you imagine the anxiety he felt? He had the weight of the world on his shoulders. He knew that tomorrow his life ends. And as a man, as a human being, that is no way, shape, or form easy to accept. And he knows this is happening tomorrow. And he has to have a willingness to allow this to happen, right? He has a sadness as he approaches this meal because he knows one of you 12 that I've spent the last several years with every single day and I have loved you unconditionally is going to turn on me for some cash, really. Imagine what he felt going in to the Last Supper. That's the way I would probably look at it. And yes, he felt these things. But more so, and this is the part that's important to us, Jesus felt joy at the Last Supper. Can you say amen? Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus was happy at the Last Supper? If I could be in the mind of Jesus 2,000 years ago, it's been a struggle. We've watched this for thousands of years. We've watched our creation die for thousands of years. We've watched the enemy beat them down and win and lie to them for thousands of years. Finally, tomorrow it ends. Finally, tomorrow, the enemy no longer wins. He might beat their body. He might end their life here on this earth, but he never wins again. After tomorrow, when I hang on that cross and I give my life for them forevermore, they will be with me. Forevermore, they will be with my Father. Forevermore, they will sing with the angels in heaven. Forevermore, the Holy Spirit will hug them. Forevermore, it will be joy and happiness. That's the mind of Jesus going into the Last Supper. Joy, remembrance. Looking forward. Jesus lived in the moment. He loved them. He humbled his heart. He washed their feet. He prepared them for the ministry that was before them that was not going to be an easy ministry. He lived in that moment. He remembered the entire past because tomorrow would decide if that's all a win or a lose. And he looked to the future because he trusted his heavenly Father. That's kind of the title, right? Then, now, and then. You get it? Okay. You know, while he was indulging in this meal with his disciples, The people around him were indulging in another meal. And the Passover was a reminder of the Exodus. And they remembered how God delivered them from bondage. They remember how God parted the Red Sea, let them live, and brought destruction to their enemies. They remembered how God led them decade after decade after decade with his very own presence. You remember that? They remember how the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. They remember walking into the promised land. God made good on his promise. Can you say amen? Amen. And they were looking for a Messiah. At the time that Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples, the people in town were looking for the Messiah. The head of the household would break the bread, the unleavened bread, and said, "This is the bread of affliction that our forefathers ate." Little did they know the Messiah was right there. Little did they know they themselves would end the life of Jesus, this Messiah they kept looking forward to. What a sad thing to know. What a sad thing to know. You have all these rules, all these regulations, all these prophecies, all this knowledge and intelligence. He was right there with you, but you could not humble your heart and say, "Jesus, come into my life." Couldn't do it. And instead, you follow your own self-righteous ways. And hey, somebody was going to do it, because when God has a plan in place, that plan executes. But how sad to know you had a part in that, in taking the life of the Son of God. They missed the point altogether. He was right there. Already been talking 10 minutes. I'm going to speed ahead. Now, in our communion service, we're reminded, as regularly as we do this, we're reminded that it's real. 2,000 years ago, it was real. Jesus Christ himself was on this earth in a house, in the upper room, with 12 men who were preparing to carry his gospel forward. And Jesus himself said, "I'm going to give my life for you. This body will be broken for you. This blood will be shed. My blood will spill for you." Right then and there, in that moment, he was giving all for you, for the disciples. But if you could see the big picture, he was giving all for you, for me. They couldn't see it. They could barely get what he was saying, let alone see the big picture that he was seeing, that if he did not willingly hang on that cross tomorrow, Johnny couldn't go to heaven. Craig couldn't go to heaven. Gavin could not go to heaven. They would get 70. They would die. They would be for no more. They would belong to the enemy. And he was not going to have it. But hey, it's easy to say. It ain't so easy to do. And my Jesus was willing to drink that bitter cup. My Jesus was willing to take the anguish, the pain, and the suffering. When you think about what we do next, the foot washing, the communion, don't focus so much on the actual things. Get in your mind what this is all about. That there was a Savior whose body really was broken. There was a Savior whose blood flowed down his face, off his arms, through his side, down his feet. Real blood flowed. Real pain was experienced in human form. Just so that you could go to heaven. Just so that you wouldn't have to endure that pain and that death. We do this and we remember that body was actually broken. So we have this hope. That blood was spilled and just ran into that earth. So we have life. We have that hope. And you know, when Jesus humbled himself before them and washed their feet,
It prepares us. And I got to tell you, if Jesus is willing to wash those dirty, muggy, dusty old feet, they didn't take pedicures back then. If Jesus was willing to do that, why am I not willing to go with Johnny to the bus station, see that dirty man, hand him the bag, but also give him a hug after COVID-19 is gone? But, you know. Why am I not willing? Why can't I not humble my heart truly in service to God? If you're not involved in a ministry, if you're not putting Jesus first in your life, if it's about getting your things first and securing your needs and paying your bills and all of that first, and then let me see if I have time for Jesus, you're doing it backwards. He made us a promise. Bring the tithe into my storehouse and prove me herewith if I will not open the windows of heaven. And my windows are so big, your arms are so small, you can't even catch my blessing. And we're too scared to believe that. We got to take care of us first, and if there's time left over, then we take care of Jesus. When you learn 3 score and 10 goes quick, I got to tell you, 3 score and 10 goes quick. I'm recently looking in the mirror and thinking, that's the same guy? Where'd the last 30 years go? It goes quick. What you should be planning for is an eternity. That's what you should be planning for. When you're doing the other way around, you're being selfish. I'm being selfish. It's all about me and my things and my needs. When I give all to the Savior, it's really nothing in the grand scheme of things. What am I in this cosmic world, in all this universe? What am I? If I give my time, whatever, what am I? Yet the Savior says, for just one person who would give all, it was worth it. Yeah. I'm looking to see where we can jump ahead. The communion service is solemn. We know that, but it's got to be joyful for us too. It has to be a joy. Don't be afraid to take communion. Absorb it. Know that Jesus made that for you. To partake symbolically in his meal, okay? So see it as joyful. Because today, when you're suffering today, the atoning death of Christ holds you up today, not just 2,000 years ago. It wasn't just for Peter, okay? Today, when you are in strife in your life, the atoning death of Christ forms a way out for you. The lifeblood of Christ nourishes you today. You got to take that away right now, right here today. Everything about Jesus is what keeps you alive. Matthew 18:20 tells us, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there where? In the very midst of them. Matthew 28:19-20 reminds us when Jesus said, go you therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even where? Unto the end of the world. Jesus is with you all the way today, all the way tomorrow. If you close your eyes tomorrow, Jesus will have been all the way through to right then. If you live another 100 years and Jesus hadn't come yet, all the way every day he is there. He says, I'm with you all the way. That's every day until the very end of the world. So with anticipation, we're looking forward. With anticipation, we're looking for Jesus. So as we partake in this communion service, rejoice. Rejoice in the promise that death is not the end. Rejoice in the promise that Jesus is coming again. And as we partake in the foot washing, the ordinance of humility, be mindful of the grace of Jesus upon his people, of his willingness, Jesus Christ's willingness to give all. He gave all then, he's giving all now, and then again when he returns. Let us pray. Father, this morning, we thank you for this message that you have designed for us today, to understand how important the communion service is, to remember what your son did, what he gave, what he sacrificed, and the way that he provided as a result of it for us, for our future, for our eternity. May we take that into our hearts fully and be filled with your joy. In the name of Jesus, amen. At this time, we're going to go ahead and separate for the foot washing. As I said, the men will be in the library over here, the women in the fellowship hall over here, and married couples, if you wish to, in the primary class over here. When you come back in, you'll see a ribbon on every other pew. Leave those pews empty so the deacons can get in and out to service. Thank you.